word spiritually, you'll never die. I got to come get you. And when Jesus cracks the sky, the dead in Christ shall rise first. But we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. Do I have anybody here that say, I'm encouraged, I'm ready to do it, I envision something different, I encountered the Lord, I know why I'm here now. I'm not here to hide, I'm not here to isolate, I'm not here to go the other way, but I'm here to do the work of the Lord. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? Say yes. Come on and say yeah. I know he's all right. Anybody know he's all right? Won't God bless you? Won't God keep you? Won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Won't God lay his hand on you? Won't God strengthen you when you feel down? Won't God lift you when you feel down? You lift up your head unto the hills, for whence cometh your help? For your help comes from the Lord. Do I have anybody that say, I know Jesus is my help? If you know he's your help, I say, ain't he all right? I say, ain't he all right? If you know he's your help, you ought to say this with me. I may not know anything else, but I know, say, I know that the Lord is all right. I know he's all right. Hallelujah. What are you doing here? What are you doing here?
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Eyes are closed. Father, our God, thank you again. Oh, for your wonderfulness. We thank you, Lord God, that you've afforded us another opportunity to hear your word. Release us now to the perfect preaching, teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, that he may do in us and with us and through us and to us those things that you've already desired and arranged in your word. We give him free course in our midst, both the word and the witness, that you might be glorified in, that your word may come alive in this assembly, that the saints of God may rejoice in your truth. And then that we'll be careful to practice the principles for profit, so that we may too know that what you've said once, you meant always. And that we can trust you, we can lean on you, we can depend on you, because you're no shorter than your word. So much so that you said all heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle of your word will ever pass away. Lord, we thank you for that stability. We thank you for that security. We thank you for that peace. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Psalm 75, verses 6 and 11, a seventh rather. Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7. I want to lift this out of that 75th Psalm and speak from the subject, be patient. Promotions are in the hand of the Lord. Be patient. Promotions are in the hand of the Lord. Psalm 75, verse 6 says, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Be patient. Promotions are in the hand of the Lord. This word that we have before us is a very timely word, considering situations, as I've stated earlier, concerning our convention. But even beyond our convention, this is a timely word for those of us who may be wrestling with feeling like maybe I've been looked over, maybe I've been passed over, maybe I've been pushed back, maybe I've been done wrong concerning a promotion. Maybe somebody has just not noticed how talented I am or gifted I am, or have learned how dutiful and faithful and responsible I am, you may say. But what you need to know, my brother, my sister, is that God wants you to know who it is that give promotions. One of the reasons that you might not be where you think you ought to be right now is that you've been trying to impress the wrong boss. One of the problems that you might be experiencing right now is you've been faithful to the wrong person. One of the problems may very well be that you've not counted up the cost and looked deep down within the confines of God's word to see that he says even the king's heart is in his hand. And as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. So that means even if you're trying to please the king or the president, he's still in the hands of the Lord, and God tells him what to do. Listen here, this word starts off, unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. When I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of its sealer. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. The psalmist here was talking about the day that was coming when the powers that be would no longer be the potentates. And see, brothers and sisters, there is something to those of us in power we must be careful about. Because while you sit and head now down here on planet Earth, the table of power, and you sit as the potentate of that table of power, what you got to realize is the table turns. And how you rule today, you shall be ruled tomorrow. If you're ungrateful and you're not gracious and if you're not kind and merciful, when your time is up, somebody else sits down at the table of policy making. And you have to then carry out the policy. My brothers and my sisters, sometimes it's hard to take back what you dish out. I wish I had a witness here today. And so what we've got to understand is that the psalmist was trying to tell those who were in power, you better be careful how you rule, and you better be careful not to be so stiff-necked now, because there's coming a day that you're going to be in another position. And if you rule so authoritatively and everything is in concrete now, and you go up against and you lift up your horn against the people of God now, we need you to understand that he who sits high still looks low. So he was saying, listen, and I like the way he said this. He said, verse 4, I said unto the fools. These were the ones who were in authority right now. He says, deal not. See, it's one thing to be a fool. And it's another thing to act a fool. So he said, you may be a fool, but don't act it. Because if you do, you're going to see what power has the authoritative end. You're going to see who will have the last word. But here I want to jump to verse 6. Because after he tells them in verse 5, lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck, he goes on to tell them why. For promotion. And that word comes from a word that has plural meanings, but two of them mean one to raise up and the other to lift up. To set on high, to give authority, as the meanings continue. He was saying for promotion. That ability that God gives does not come from the earth realm. It may come through the earth realm, but it doesn't come from the earth realm. And he begins to say, he says, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. What was he trying to say? First of all, when he spoke of these three areas, that was a real significant point he was making. To those who were in power, who looked for these different entities strategically in battle, each one of these areas had what they call vantage points. And if those persons would come together and line up and form an alliance together, that they too would be able to overcome most of the enemies that opposed them. And so what would happen was, he was saying, if in fact you had the mind to say, if I get with those who are in the south or those who are in the east or those who are in the west to try and usurp the power of their vantage point to get my position more established and more settled, to be more concrete in what I'm doing, then I will have the victory. But he was saying, don't count on their vantage points. Because it doesn't matter which one of the vantage points you go to, that you align yourself with, what powers and persons you amass on your side, they can't give you the victory. God has proven all through his word, especially in this Old Testament, how he can take just a handful of folk and win a great big battle for them. I've shared so many times the story about Gideon, how Gideon was called a mighty man of valor, a man that God from heaven looked down and saw, went into the poorest of the communities, and then to the poorest of the families, and then to the poorest of those in the family. And he shared with Gideon that in God's viewpoint, he was a mighty man of valor, strong man, a mighty warrior, a conqueror. And when Gideon heard that, Gideon was disappointed, because Gideon knew God wasn't talking about him. But isn't it good to know that when he who has the power can speak to the powerless and they become powerful, he can call nothing something when he's got the power to make them something. He can call down up when he knows he's the one who's going to pull them up. He can speak what isn't there like it is there, because he's got the power to make it appear or manifest itself. So when God speaks, it don't matter what you are. What matters is what God said you are. And when you look in the Word and see who God says you are, God said, man, you a mighty man of valor. And so he had 32,000 men, and that was better than 100,000 men opposing him. But God gave him a vision, and then God gave him the victory, because God had the whole plan in his hand. God looked at him one day and he said, listen, you know, you got some folk with you that's with you, but they ain't with you. He said, what I don't want you to have no problem with when it come wartime is to think that you got some strong folk behind you who's supporting you, but I want to weed out all of those so-called supporters right now. He said, tell you what I want you to do. I want you to, you know, just make an announcement. Anybody who's scared and want to go back home, just go. And thousands turned and walked away and said, Brother Gideon, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And then he said, listen, he said, you got some more with you. Better than 20,000 more with you. He said, but that I want to tell you, they ain't all what they look like they are. Now, they didn't leave at the first opportunity. He said, so this time I want to show you how unprepared. He said, I want you to take them by the river. And when I tell you, you tell them all to let's drink. And he says, I want you to look around, and everyone that gets down on one knee and takes his hand and scoop the water up and drink and look around, I want you to pick them out. And the rest of them that just get down, head in there, start licking, leave them right there licking up in the water. Somebody ought to hear me here. When he got through counting, he found out that he didn't have but 300 people out of 32,000 that was really worth anything. And so God says, tell you why I want you to break that number down. Because to be honest with you, you really don't need to go out there by yourself to come against my people. And so as the story goes, and those of you who know, of course, with no battle weapons in their hands, no battle weapons, no traditional battle weapons, God won the victory. So why were they there? Why were they there? If God was going to fight the battle, why did they need to show up? To pick up everything else they left. When you wake up here. The only reason why God wants you to come on the battlefield is so you can take the spoils of the battle. You ain't got to fight. He's already won it. When he's through, then you can get everything that the enemy had and more. And so why are we seeing this? Why are we saying? There are many other stories that depict God's power and God's ability to lift up whomsoever he chooses. God gives favor to man. People don't have to like you. People don't have to know you. People don't even have to know anything about you to not like you. People don't have to have any truth about you and still lie on you. People will say and do and make up and all the rest that they think they can control. People will get together and plot and plan. People will get together in their little cliques and have clique meetings. They'll work their show. They'll get their people. They'll pull their cot. They'll pull back all of those favors. You owe me. You know you owe me now. They'll start calling in all of this to pull everything they got. But don't you know God still has the last word? The last word. Why? 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 Because listen, God is sovereign. And I want you to see something else, because the next verse is very interesting. The seventh verse says, but God is the judge. But God is the judge. But God is, not was, is the judge. This may have been written hundreds and hundreds of years ago, but God is judge.
It may have seemed like they passed over you, but God is judge. It may have seemed like somebody has your title, but God is judge. I wish I had a helper here somewhere. Why is God still judge? Because he's God all by himself. And you know what's interesting about this word judge? The translation of it means referee or umpire. And it means that God's call is a sovereign call and can't nobody challenge it. Somebody ought to hear me. If you watch sports, and I know you do, if the referee or if the umpire or if the judge makes a call, it doesn't matter what anybody says. He has the last word that determines the outcome. The word says, but God is judge. And so you know what that means? It doesn't matter even if you put it in a court of law system. And see, God's law and God's worth and God's work differs from man-made laws. But what you need to understand is it doesn't matter what the jury come up with. The word says, but God is. And you see, you know why it doesn't matter with God what the jury says? Because the jury is made up of your own peers. And so if you low down, if you a conniver, if you a wrongdoer, all of your friends think you ought to have what you say you ought to have. Somebody ought to wake up and hear me. And so when you say, I think he's the one, the word says, but God. Is judge. That's why God can take a no name, a nobody, somebody who's been cast out and cast down by the world, and God can all by himself lift him up or raise him up or elevate him or place him in position of authority. How many times have you seen God do such a thing? Well, all you got to do is think back at your own life. And all you got to do is see how when man says no, how it isn't over. This is the way the world say it, till the fat lady sings. But that ain't the way it works in the word. It ain't over till God says so. And see, you know what you need to be careful about? Because I know a whole lot of folk who were promised positions. And a whole lot of folk who got their hopes built up and got themselves all worked up and thought they were about to go into a position of authority. But there was another ruler. There was another ruling that ruled down those who had ruled up in the position. And so what you got to understand is it does not matter unless God says so. Do you know what God is able to do? God is able. You remember when they were building the Tower of Babel? And they got out of God's will. They got out of God's word. They got out of God's way. And they got up so high in the building of that whole little tower that they were going to praise themselves in. And God stepped in the midst of it and confused their language. But well, you know why that was? Because you don't go over him, you don't get to him, except you come the right way. You don't usurp any of his praise or any of his glory or any of his power. Any of that that God chooses to share with you is so at his own discretion. Do you know God will have folk to come in a situation where they have had their minds made up? And when they get there and it's time to do what they said they were going to do, God has the power to step in at the last minute. Just before they make that check and just before they make their minds up and just before they make their decision, they can go there and they can see who they say they're going to vote for right here. But God can make them check the other person. Somebody don't hear me here. I guess you just don't understand how God works. God can make your enemies your footstools. Why can he do it, and why will he do it? Because God is not going to suffer his children to be walked on without those who walk on them knowing that God has the last word. Listen again, because I want you to see. The word says, but God is the judge. Yes. Then there's a colon afterwards. And that lets you know what the judge is able to do. What is this judge able to do? Is right here. He put it down one. And when he gets through putting down one, guess what he does? He set up. See, now you know what that tells me about this judge? This judge has sense enough to know that you can't have two heads at one time. Somebody ought to hear me here. And if he's going to set anything in order, if the one who's out of order is there functioning, what he'll first do is set that one down. Help me, Holy Ghost. And after he sets him down, then he puts up another. He puts up another. What does that say? What does that say? Wait a minute. This is what you got to know. You ain't got to go backstabbing nobody. You don't have to go there smiling in nobody's face and then looking for a way to cut them down. You don't have to go there trying to undermine nobody. You don't have to go there trying to pick holes in their programs. You don't have to go there looking for their faults, because I need to tell you, everybody got faults. You don't need to go there and with the best of your power and ability rip down and shred up nobody else's reputation. Because if yours is all that it needs to be, you ought to be able to run on your own reputation. Listen, right is right and wrong is wrong. Black is black and white is white. If you're right, you're just right. If you're wrong, you're just wrong. And what you got to understand is God is not going to take part. I don't care if you are the right person for the job. God is not going to take part in lifting you up while he's got somebody else on the throne. Look in the word right here for you. Verse 7. But God is the judge. He, not you. Let me say it again. He. Come on, say it with me so you'll know it's not you. He. That's who does it. He put it down, not you put it down. And so you need to be careful about who you're putting down. Because God has not given you the authority to rule on his behalf. He's still the judge right now, and he makes decisions. And listen, you need to know this. Everything that we say and do is recorded by the Lord himself. So you don't need to tell him nothing he doesn't already know. And I think I just dropped this in for you so that you'll know, help you out a little bit. He knew what was going to happen even before you got here. When y'all wake up. He knew before he ever allowed them to be on the throne what would be entailed from beginning to end of that rule. But God still has the power, the sovereign power, to put down, and he setteth up. I just want you to look at this one more time, and then I'm closing. It says, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. And what I need you to understand is that God, being a judge, has to also sentence you. And what you got to understand is he's the last one to say, when you pull down, how far down you come. Somebody ought to hear me. And you see, that's why when he pulls some down and they think you ought to be the way down, and God said, I just want you off the throne. You ain't got to be down in the pit. I just want you off the throne. He gives the sentence. God can say, okay, I'll tell you what I want to do. I want you down, because the word says, put it. And that gives the connotation that as long as God says so, it will be so. And so sometimes what you got to understand is when God pulls you out of that position of authority and pulls you out of that place of responsibility,